With the second pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Washington Commanders select Jaden Daniels, quarterback, LSU.
The Commanders made the second pick in the draft for the second time in 5 years. Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are giving away tickets to see the Caps and the Rangers at Capital One Arena on Sunday night. We'll do that at 5 p.m. We got a pair to game four. Of course, game three is today. We'll get you a preview of that matchup a couple different times, including during our Beltway Blitz today, coming up in 1 hour. The Commanders hope, Danny, that they just found their generational QB. But you might want to start thinking about your next generation. And the sponsors of our show, Kondori and Murad, the law firm based out of Fairfax, are going to help you do that. They will get you set up for your will, your revocable trust, your healthcare power of attorney. Go schedule a consultation with their estate planning attorneys over at kmlawyers.com. Mention G&D, the show, and they will give you a discount. kmlawyers.com. Commanders choose Jaden Daniels. 5 years he played in college. Of course, the COVID year, only four games in 2020. But he was at Arizona State for 3 years, two seasons in the SEC at LSU. And what he did last year, he'd never thrown for more than 17 touchdowns. He had a 10-touchdown, 10-pick season on the ledger. About 40 touchdowns and four interceptions. He kept getting better and better and better. And you heard him in his press conference, Danny, say, I'm only 23. I'm not done developing yet. Seemed like a pretty aware, humble guy, and I think you got to put him in the win column. Introductory press conferences are fairly easy. Everybody's excited to see you.
He's not going to roll the pins, though.
But he did a nice job.
Yeah, and I actually agree with that assessment, to be honest with you. Seeing where he came from a couple of years ago to where he is now, the idea that, okay, growth is done. Again, it's not a race. Everyone develops at their own pace. Sometimes guys are freaks of nature. They come up at 19, and they're all-stars already. See Juan Soto. Other times it takes guys, I don't know, a couple of years, God forbid, to come up and then be really good. That could happen too. So I do see a positive arc of development that kind of works with his excellent athletic ability and relentless work ethic.
Let's go to the phones. We'll get started with Bob in Myrtle Beach on Grant and Danny. Bob,
hey,
the
Bob.
Commanders did what people thought they would. What do you make of it?
Well, I tell you, I'm thrilled that they did it. I watched the whole presentation on TV last night, and I tell you, it was tough when the commissioner came up, and he paused for just a split second, like he was going to say something other than Daniels. And so when he said Daniels, I was thrilled. I was worried that we were going to do something silly and trade down. The thing that I really, really like about Daniels is that, to me, the likelihood of him being a bust is extremely low. I think the four quarterbacks taken after him, to me, the chance that they could be bust are much greater than Daniels and the other guy, Caleb, that the Bears got. So I think we made a judgment for the ages, and I think everyone who watched the presentation last night will be saying to themselves for the next 5 or 10 years, hopefully 10 years, I saw that guy when he was drafted, and I was glad that we did it.
I hope so.
Thanks, Bob.
You know, it's interesting.
Interesting perspective there, right?
On the floor. Well, you hear both, right? You hear people say Daniels is the safest, and then you hear the assessment that Daniels is maybe the riskiest, I suppose. I just think if you feel that way, which I kind of do, it's the juxtaposition between the apex and the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think you can say there's a chance Jaden Daniels will be a terrible football player. I don't see that. I don't think you could say there's a chance he'll be bad. I think the worst case scenario is he is an electric running quarterback who doesn't make the transition otherwise that you want him to. Kind of like a Fields-ish type player, because the way that he moves, the twitch and the wiggle and the just the abilities he's got to pull the ball down with his speed and give him a crease and he turns it into 10, 15, 20. And if there's 15 yards at the point of breaking through the line of scrimmage, he'll get you 40. Like, that doesn't go away early in his career. You saw it in 2012 where Washington designed an offense around, at that time, presently, what Robert Griffin was special at. So I think because of that, the floor is higher for him as a prospect. But I just think if we're talking about the chance to end up being a star, I think there's maybe a better chance with a couple of the other guys in terms of percentage.
Hmm.
I think if every one of the players becomes the best version of themselves, only Caleb Williams maybe has a better penthouse.
Right. If everyone reaches 100,
then Daniels.
Hmm.
You know, because if Daniels reaches 100 out of 100, I think he's a better passing Lamar, who's won two MVP awards.
And that's kind of my point, because I tend to think of it more of ceiling rather than floor. But I think your point's well stated. And it also kind of depends on what you view as what a bust is. Like, a bust can be someone that doesn't live up to expectations. That's somebody's definition of it. And other guys, it's got to be Jamarcus Russell. The guy's got to be out of the league before his rookie deal is done or whatever. I think of it, if you don't come close to meeting the expectations and you're on your third team in 3 years or whatever.
But do you agree with me with the logic? I guess the way I can make my point is with Fields.
No, you're right. He's still
Fields,
a useful player. Yeah.
Statistically, coming out was an incredible passer. Like, if you go back and look at actually any of the analytics on him as a thrower.
That's why I liked him, yeah.
He was really, really good in a lot of those areas coming out. But if you took away his running ability, that's a bust. That's a terrible player.
Mm-hmm.
With his running ability, he is a startable quarterback. Now, the league essentially said no this offseason, interestingly enough. But that's a startable player who's hard to defend, and the Bears were a pain in the butt to have to deal with in the second half of the season. So I just think that Daniels' safety net is, if the rest of it doesn't work out or translate, at least I'm a better athlete than almost everyone out here right now, and I can play some hero ball. Let's go to Mo in Largo on G&D. Mo, how you feeling?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Mo?
I must say, I've been pro Jaden for months now, and honestly, I would feel a lot more excited if it wasn't for you, Grant. I mean, that display of whatever you want to call it yesterday made me nervous, but I'm happy we got our guy.
Wait, what did I do yesterday?
I don't know if that was yesterday or the day before when you and Danny were going back and forth making cases.
Oh, we did the court case.
Oh, the court cases, yeah.
Yes. Yes, and you put forward some very valid information that I was unaware of. So, you know, it kind of made me a little bit nervous, enough to the point where I actually emotionally hedged May yesterday, just in case. But I'm glad things worked out.
Well, and, look, Mo, join me in Nervousville, buddy, okay? I am with
you. Dude, I love him, and I'm terrified.
I've got an apartment in Nervousville. But here's the difference.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Mo.
The phone call. I think people have misunderstood my Daniels feelings all along. Right, I try to say this every time, but you hear whatever you want to hear. I have a massive fear that he will not reach his ceiling because of all the reasons we don't need to re-legislate today. Today's a happy day. We've gone over those ad nauseum.
Yeah, we've covered it.
Right? I feel like there's a better chance. Now, I hate where Drake May ended up. Whoever was going to New England, I think, is pretty screwed.
Doomed.
Whether that's McCarthy, Daniels, or May. But I think there's a better chance that those other guys get to their ceiling based on just some of the numbers that I care about. Diving into collegiately going to the NFL. Having said that, we started the show with this. Are you going to focus on the nerves of what could go wrong or the upside of what could go right? Because if this goes right, only Robert Griffin, and for a split second in 12, you kind of saw where it was headed. That's the only guy who's had this type of potential who's been here at this position. And everybody is hunting for this. A good pocket passing quarterback who can make throws and move the chains like they had in Cousins for a few years is a nice thing that you can win with, and you'll be in every single game every single Sunday. But even when you've got that type of player, you're kind of looking around the league going, that guy's really special. How do I get him? And so the Commanders are taking a big swing. They swung for the fences. People said, oh, they hit a home run yesterday. How do we know? The ball could land 10 rows deep. It could also be a ground ball to shortstop or a swing and a miss. We have no idea. They took a massive swing, though. They took a James Wood-level swing.
Which I love.
And it is hard to fault that at number two overall. Let's go to Disco and Laurel. What's up, Disco? You're on G&D.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good to talk to you.
You too, buddy.
I'm excited about the pick. You know, I really feel like a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, you know, in today's NFL – you know, he can stress the defense. A quarterback that can throw from the pocket but has his speed. But here's the thing. To me, guys, the draft starts tonight because I want the model that they put in place in San Francisco where it's – I want to resist the urge of looking at Jaden Daniels as the savior. We got this guy, so he's going to be the guy that's going to take us to the next level, whereas – They need to build some infrastructure for him to be able to reach that ceiling that we're talking about. So, for example, if every, you know, the 49ers and the Chiefs, they have an elite something else. The 49ers have an elite running back. They have elite wide receivers. They have an elite running back. Linebacker. Mm-hmm. Kansas City has an elite tight end. So, to me, I want to resist this urge of thinking, okay, this is the guy – just like, you know, like Robert Griffin III, that's going to make everything come together. The infrastructure starts tonight and tomorrow, and we need blue chip play. We need elite around him
for him
to get to his ceiling. Thank you.
Love that call, buddy. Thank you.
I think Disco's on it, right? That's a great phone call. The only thing I would disagree with is the infrastructure doesn't start tonight. It better have started several weeks ago. I think the infrastructure was Austin Eckler catching balls out of the backfield, right? The infrastructure was, let's go get him a tight end who can catch some footballs in Zach Ertz. Let's make sure you got a center who can help him pick some things up, pre-snap, and work with him on the sideline if he's not seeing it exactly right, because he's never done this before. You spend $10 million on Tyler Biadasz. They are already in the process of the infrastructure. But to his point, let's keep it going now.
Yeah, you're not done by any stretch of the imagination.
You got 36 and 40. One of those picks has got to be someone who helps him in the offensive huddle. I'd love a receiver. I mean, it is hard for me to think about passing up on Ladd McConkey or
A.D. Mitchell's there.
A.D. Mitchell is the guy that if he's there at 36, how do I pass on A.D. Mitchell? How do I do that?
I'm not doing that.
In good faith.
I'm doing it. I'm taking it.
I got someone on Twitter here. I'm at Grant H. Paulson. Danny's at Funny Danny. They hit me up on X and they said, we already have our two wide receivers.
You might.
What are you talking about, friend? You play more than two receivers. Everyone's an 11 anyway. That's three receivers, 11 personnel. I want four. You got four, now I want five. I got five, I want six. They don't have to be wideouts, by the way. I want weapons. That could be tight ends. They've got an aging mid-30s Zach Ertz who's kind of breaking down. Get another weapon at tight end. I would do that in the mid-rounds. The idea that they're going to go into the season with a left tackle situation where Cornelius Lucas might be your starter is unacceptable to me. And I love Adam Peters in this front office. I feel a lot differently about them than I did the last group. But I crushed the last group all offseason when they didn't address the line. And I'll have to do the same if Cornelius Lucas is the starter in week one. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they might get a guy tonight they like. Maybe they already have a good feel for someone getting cut in a month or two. And they know they can bring that guy in. And
I do feel comfortable
agent.
That there's a plan. And I think the thing
there
I'm
better be a plan.
Well, yeah. But the thing I'm comfortable doing is saying just a normal football conversation. In other words, like, hey, I would have done this. They did that. I think that's perfectly fine. People need to understand the difference, by the way, between going, this group is incompetent. Look at this evidence. Look at how overmatched they are. What is going on? There's no plan. This is ridiculous. I feel very comfortable saying they have an idea. They have a plan. I think if the draft had worked their way, and I'm putting that in quotes last night, a move might have been made to get back into the first round to grab one of these tackles. I think they know and are comfortable with their options. I think this group is pretty secure in themselves in that way. But there is a cohesive plan, I think, that makes sense.
The idea, though, that he's not the savior, that he's part of something bigger, is so true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it changes when you get paid that massive contract. When you get the Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, who else has gotten one of these? Jalen Hurts extension, right? When you get that kind of money at the top of the league, well, now more is on your plate. Heavy lies the crown. You could be successful. You're going to have enemies. You could be unsuccessful. You're going to have friends, Frank. Like, it's now I need you to make up for deficiencies because I can't pay you what you want and get everything else. But with Jaden Daniels on a kid contract, making kid money for the next few years, he's got to be a piece of the puzzle. It's the biggest piece. It's the most important piece. If he's not great, you don't have a chance. But if he is great, everything changes. But What a good point by Disco. Let's help him now. Every decision you make from this point moving forward, and I hope it's been this way all offseason already, has to be about how does this help Jaden Daniels be excellent? That's all everyone in the organization should think about every day with every decision they make, most significantly tonight at 36 and 40 and beyond over the next 2 days. Let's go to Brian in Indian Head over there on 210. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. I really love the show. A couple quick points when I get off here. I'm sure you got a lot of callers. I like the fact that he's already comfortable in front of the press, which is almost a huge thing for a rookie quarterback. Just his confidence level is amazing. I like the fact that he's not just a patchwork to a team. They're actually, you know, building a team around him. He's got players that are supportive. He's got coaches. The fact last night when he said about Brandon Ayuk that he talks to him like three times a day and he's a big mentor, to get that dude in this locker room would be amazing. And then my last thought is ProFootballNetwork.com had a list of the top 30 visits for the Washington Commanders. Mm-hmm. And out of the 18 players on that list, there's only four off that list, and three of them were quarterbacks. So I think this organization, Peters, they've set up a great draft board, and it's going to be a lot of fun tonight. Thank you, guys. Have a good evening.
Good nugget on the draft visits there. The Ayuk thing is kind of dangling out there. Now, San Francisco has said it's unlikely, but what does that mean?
There's also a report yesterday that they're more likely to trade Debo than Ayuk now. I don't care which one. If they're available, I'm picking up the phone. I'm Adam Peters. I got the number.
Yeah.
Every person I need in San Fran. Speaking of Ayuk coming up yesterday, Eric Bickle might deserve an apology for some people in this town. Do you know that his little wacky story, I think it was, I don't remember the specifics.
It was a friend of his son's.
Yeah, his son met some kid at a dorm room in Iowa. I don't know if I'm making that up or not. But I'm not even doing bits. There was something like that. But basically, he had heard this story about how Jaden Daniels and Adam Peters might not have the best relationship because Jaden Daniels is boys with Brandon Ayuk, who he played with at Arizona State, and he asked Ayuk, hey, what does he think, because he runs the 49ers draft room at the time, like, what does he think about my draft stock? And EB brought this story up, and everyone was, like, crushing him for it as, A, it's not true, and B, your source is terrible. And then Ian Rappaport told the damn story last night during the draft coverage.
Rich, it has been quite a journey for Jaden Daniels and specifically Commanders GM Adam Peters. A year ago, through his friend Brandon Ayuk, Jaden Daniels wondered for Adam Peters, what is my stock? Should I go in the draft? Peters said to Ayuk, it's about a fifth rounder, should probably go back. Jaden Daniels never forgot that. Before his visit to the Commanders, he was a little miffed that there were several other quarterbacks there with him. Then Dan Quinn and Peters picked him up. Then he met straight with the owner, and he was back in, very excited, potentially, to be with the Commanders.
By God, that's Eric Bickle's music.
A lot of Joni. I mean, I don't know how big the victory lap was that he took this morning. I didn't get to hear it, but I'll bet you he was throwing his elbows around, rolling down to the ring in his black vest that said 316 on it.
You know that gif of when the guy makes that entrance and, like, does the thing where he bends a lot, and he's like, Dan, you know what I'm talking about, Darius? It's super funny with a can and someone takes his jacket off. I hope that was Bickle coming into the show today. That's what I hope.
Hilarious.
Strut, young man. Strut, you earned it.
Wasn't pretty every step of the way. You could add that to the pile, I guess. There was some bumpiness. Maybe it wasn't love at first sight. But it was love eventually.
Well, that's okay.
Because they were picking up Jaden Daniels, the private jet entrance of Dulles Airport, and bringing him over for the presser in Ashburn in the last hour. 800-636-1067 is the number. Were you surprised that it was so well-known for a team that kept a good secret, supposedly, that didn't say a word to anyone? And I could tell you, I was texting people over there. Everyone was being very polite and friendly and responsive.
Thanks so much for asking.
They weren't offering any information on anything and haven't for much of the offseason, I might add. Are you surprised that the secret was so poorly kept? Or is it just too hard in this era with too many people digging, teams knowing what everybody's thinking and doing? You can join us on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines, G&D on the Fan.
Jaden, Adam Peters from the Commanders. How you doing, man? I've just been so impressed with what you've done to get yourself to where you're at right now, man. And there's so many more great things to come. But you put in all the work in the early mornings, the late nights. I just couldn't be more impressed, and I couldn't be more proud to pick you to represent our franchise. So congratulations, man.
Congrats, man. How awesome is this? I've known for a long time about the ball player, but over the last 2 months, I learned about the dude, the dedication. I think the Florida game spoke to your resilience, and that's why you're coming here, man. You're a dog competitor. We're going to kick a lot of ass together.
Congrats, man. Welcome to you and your family, to the DMV. I know we're going to make it happen together. I'm so appreciative that we're going to be doing this. And what a night, and you've earned it, and just celebrate. Can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Turn it in. Let's go.
Little ammunition to continue to work on your Josh Harris there at the end. Those were the calls I guess it was one call. They passed the phone around the draft room. But you heard in order, GM Adam Peters, the 44-year-old executive running his first draft ever. Dan Quinn, the new head coach in his second go-round here in D.C., year one with the Commanders. And Josh Harris, who owns teams in the NBA and NHL. But that had to be quite a thrill for him last night.
That's neat.
You drop $6 bill, you're in the war room, and you get to talk to the Heisman Trophy winning face of your franchise.
He's like, hey Dan, let me grab the phone real quick.
Can I talk to him? I'm the one that's paying him all the money.
Hey, Jane, it's Josh. It'll be my signature at the bottom. Good for you, Josh.
I'd like to pick a little nit, if I may.
Oh, no.
Can I hear what Jaden Daniels is telling him back? The Commanders do this really good, like all the video stuff. We were raving about the Daryl Green video yesterday. But all these videos you see, it's a two-way phone call. Now, I don't know if maybe the audio was bad or something happened or he was mic'd up and for some reason it didn't work. I'm sure there was a reason for it. But you just got what they said to him. And even in Quinn's case, a couple things that were like edited together with whatever he said taken out. I just would have loved to have seen his reaction, his emotions. That's part of the fun for me. Because I actually, again, super nerdy, put my head on my pillow at 3 a.m. last night. I went upstairs. It was like 3:10 in the morning. I hadn't seen my wife since first thing. And I go up and she's like, are you serious? And I was like, sorry. She goes, it's 3 in the morning.
I know. I hate it when that
happens. And I said, I can't sleep after the draft. She said, maybe you could just try.
Yep.
That's a good point.
Yep, scolded.
I mean, I never laid down. I just kept watching. But one of the things in my 3 hours at home when I got home that I was doing, one of the things was scrolling every team account to see their call to the pick. And they're all the same, and none of them are that interesting. I don't know why. I am such a sucker for it. I love it.
Well, that part's not for me necessarily. I want to see my guys. But the thing you're talking about with your wife, that has happened to me 1,000 times, where it's like I've done something irresponsible. Like, I'm not 15 years old. Yeah. I'm not staying up till 3 a.m. playing video games.
Well, it's amazing.
And then
too.
I did. When I do, yeah.
Kanye style, I'm going to let you finish, mm-hmm. but I feel terrible today.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I felt like death mm-hmm. today. Ridiculous. You know, just one night doing that.
And you weren't like out on Bourbon Street?
No.
Getting hammer time?
I didn't have a sip of alcohol, but right. It felt like it.
Yeah.
It felt like I had drinking all the alcohol
Welcome.
In the greater DMV, and I got run over by a bus twice. Like, it ran me over, and it's like, is that Grant? Is he still alive? And it went back over me. That was me this morning. Terrible. Just because I stayed up late that time.
Pretty much.
Old man.
Yeah. That's the stumbling in, knowing you were doing something you weren't supposed to do. And it's not like I was out philandering. I was like downstairs, like playing video games or something until way too late. And then I get into, and I try to climb into bed quietly, and she just goes, are you kidding me?
File this away,
it's
Clary. File this away. Right now you're going, God, guys, you're ridiculous. You stayed up late once.
You wait.
12 years from now.
You wait, buddy.
I don't know what you'll be doing. You'll be somewhere making a lot of money doing something. I'm going to call you up, and I'm going to be like, stay up till 3 a.m. and then let's talk tomorrow. Let's see how you feel.
Like, why is my Achilles tendon sore? I
now,
didn't know anything.
You stay up late every night. What time did you go to bed last night?
Well, I was going to say, Ryan doesn't even stay up late anyway. You remember he was when we were down in Florida, he was ready to go to bed at 10 o'clock every night.
That's
ridiculous. We're in West Palm Beach. Last night, I think I put head on pillow around 3:30. Because we were both sending DMs to our show DM chat.
That's true.
Of video and clips and stuff and audio to use today.
3:30.
And we were basically just going back and forth.
Show.
What time did you wake up? We sleep in a little bit after the 3:30.
I got about 10. Yeah, about 10.
Okay.
Not terrible.
See, the problem I'm gonna have is when Truman comes waddling in that room at about 6:57 in the morning.
Them kids, buddy.
That does a little number on you.
Them kids will do it.
Let's go to Kevin in Arlington.
Kevin.
You got a new face of your franchise. How are you?
I'm good. You guys cracked me up. Wait till you're my age. But
34.
Seriously, you know what, Grant? What you're describing is something called adrenal fatigue. When your adrenaline is running high, and I know it was, you were so pumped up yesterday for the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you, like you told your wife, you couldn't sleep. Buddy, what you're experiencing this morning, I'm pretty sure is adrenal fatigue. But I'm not a doctor. I can't confirm that, but I'm pretty sure that's
Kevin.
As far as I'm concerned, you're a doctor, Kevin. That was genius. I bought it.
So let's go back to January for a minute. What were we saying? Well, we know we've got an owner who looks like he knows what he's doing. But we need the GM. We need the coach, and we need the quarterback. Boys, what I felt last night is check every one of those boxes. But like that caller earlier who said, it's not just about the quarterback. With the coaches, it's not just about Quinn. It's the whole coaching staff, just as it's the whole team. And I just feel for the first time, when you heard Adam Peters, he was over the moon. He was so happy about the Daniel selection. It wasn't just him. I was like, God, look at it. Everybody over in that building,
look, they love
on the same page.
It's obvious. And by the way, I guess they kept the secret a little bit because as of 48 hours ago, we're going, is Drake May their guy? Could it be J.J. McCarthy? Everyone's saying it's Daniels, so we'll assume it's Daniels. But maybe they secretly love someone else. And clearly, they love Jaden. To the point where it seems like they knew it was him for several weeks. Now, here's the thing. I believe that's probably true. We also have no idea because you're going to say that either way.
Mm-hmm.
Like Peters today said that he was the number one player on their board. I saw John Keim tweeted that out. That's always one of my favorite things about the draft. That's hilarious.
Yeah, the Rams didn't pick till 19 and they got the number one player on their
board. Exactly. No one ever says that the player they took wasn't number one on their board. You're never going to say, yeah, he was 10th on our board. That's just not a thing.
Yeah, we didn't love it, but everyone else we liked was gone, so we just took that guy.
You're also not going to say we liked Caleb Williams better or it was really close between he and Drake May. There's no reason to do that. Everything you do now is about the relationship, empowering him, putting him over. But it is hard to listen to Adam Peters speak about Daniels last night in his press conference right after the draft ended when the first round was over and not think they love this guy. So he sold it great and they took him. So obviously they do. You got to be right now. I mean, when you are just working for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and you have an opinion, it's very different than everyone says you're the best executive in the sport that should be a GM. You get your shot. You get to run your room. You get a big swing. You got to hit on it. But he went for over 2 minutes. The question was basically, what did you like about him? Why did you take him? And it was a 2.5 minute answer.
Oh, why Jaden? Why not Jaden? Jaden, he's to us, he's special in every way. On the field, off the field. The other day, didn't really watch a lot of the quarterbacks hard during the season, being with the 49ers, and then turned on Jaden for the first time here, and I couldn't believe it. I honestly couldn't believe how good he was. And saw him on TV, saw him on highlights and everything, but when you really study him as a quarterback, just as a quarterback, he's really, really good. And just the way he could process, the way he could see the field, go through reads, deliver on time, deliver with pressure in his face, take a hit and deliver a third down pass and move the chains. He's the best deep ball thrower we thought in the draft, and that's even before you start watching him run. And the way he runs, he just kind of, we talk about it, kind of takes your soul as a defense. You know, you think you got him, and then all of a sudden he rips off a 40-yard run, and this is against the SEC. This isn't against some lower competition. This is against the best of the best. So. For all those reasons on the field and off the field, I can't say enough about him. And we did a lot of work on all these guys. We did a lot of work on Jaden. And in terms of every single person we spoke to, it was just exemplary as a person, personal character, football character, his work ethic, his football intelligence, how much he cared, his leadership, how he is as a teammate. They were all exemplary. And we went back to high school. We went back to Arizona State and Herm Edwards, his personal quarterback coaches, his LSU and all the staffers at LSU, Brian Kelly there. Every single person you talk to, it was the same answer. So we felt so good about how awesome of a person that he was on top of watching all that tape.
Adam Peters, why Jaden Daniels? Why not?
Why not Jaden Daniels?
2.5 minutes later, he made the case for why he was not just the guy, but the only guy for them. And you put your neck on the line here. I mean, not to say it's a gamble. Drake May would have been a massive gamble.
Any player you draft is a gamble.
J.J. McCarthy would have been both odd and weird and also a massive gamble. But I say that to say, you're not in the shadows working in anonymity anymore.
Right.
You're hosting the press conference. You're telling us that this is a all-world person and player. You're telling us that he's an elite passer who happens to be a special runner. And we're all going to watch the games together. B's in Haymarket. What's up, B?
Hey, dude.
Hey, guys. I'm excited. He seems like a top-tier athlete. The coaching staff, the organization, their job one is to teach him how to protect himself. And if you don't mind, I'll get a little nerdy. In 2021, the Chargers played Pittsburgh, and Justin Herbert ran for 90 yards. It's not the deep he ran for 90 yards. It's the way that he did it. They never even touched him. He 7 yards slide, 5 yards get out of bounds. That's the template to teach a young quarterback who really doesn't know everything about what he's doing, how to protect himself and still get efficient yards. If they can coach the athletic arrogance out of him, which is a good thing, but if they can coach that out of him and say, just take the 7 yards and get down, go back to the line of scrimmage and let's run the ball. I think that's the most important thing that they can do for him.
Sharp call, man. Appreciate you. I mean, again, this is the point. It's not to be negative. It's the thing that I know I'm going to be white-knuckling it on my couch cushion watching him do some of the amazing things that he does. One of the best highlights of the season, a play that was nothing and dead, he turned into a massive gain. I think it was the Alabama game. He cuts back, makes one guy miss, accelerates into the open field.
Could have been any game and probably any drive.
Right.
He had 90 plays of over 20 yards.
Totally. It blows by a couple guys that thought they had the angle on him, et cetera. Finally, he's kind of trapped in a little box. Two guys sandwich him. He gets thrown to the ground into a guy that's, you know, diving to try to protect. And it's this massive, you know, horrible collision. And you're going, what an amazing play. I would never do anything to get rid of that amazing play. And yet that ending is what's going to, you know, potentially cut something short or cause him to miss some time with the violent and awkward way that he went down. That's kind of the double-edged sword here. That playmaking ability, which he has, is good or better than anybody in this draft, may be the thing that you ultimately have to go, do that, but not all the way.
Well,
that's hard to do.
Maybe he can figure it out and learn. Like I think in a lot of ways, our opinions and how we think are just products of what we've experienced.
Of course, of course.
And I was on the beat every day for Robert Griffin. And I remember that he had a really hard time learning how to do that. And basically at that time, the conclusion I came to was, you can't rewire your brain. This is a muscle memory thing. In game, you revert back to whatever it is that you've been doing your entire life. And he was never a slider, and he was never a use-the-sideline guy. Jaden Daniels hasn't been. Maybe he can learn to be that guy. And hopefully, because he is going to play probably right around 200 pounds for some part of the season as the year goes on, hopefully he can figure that out. But it is certainly one of the worries. Doesn't matter who you took last night, there were going to be worries. Like, that's not a knock.
Of course, yep.
You're making one of the biggest leaps in sports. Minor league baseball to big league baseball. Jackson Holliday just went 1 for 100, got sent back to the minor leagues. It's hard. You're coming to the big leagues now. Everybody was the best players on their teams. Luckily for Washington, you just drafted a guy who was the best player in the country. Hopefully the transition out of the SEC is a little bit easier. G&D on the fan. We'll give you a double play next. We're blitzing at the top of the hour. Remember, we've got Caps tickets for Game 4, Capital One Arena, on Sunday night. We'll give those away at 5 o'clock right here on The Fan. Quick double play here because it is a juicy draft Friday on Grant and Danny. Beltway Blitz coming up top of the hour. Nick Ackridge of PFF on the Commanders. John Walton gets you ready for the Caps and the Rangers tonight. Game 3, round 1 here in D.C. And then we'll talk a little more Commanders. We'll sandwich the Caps with football.
Mm-hmm.
Our buddy Kevin Sheehan of Kevin Sheehan Show fame stops by coming up in just a few minutes. Well, let's squeeze in a quick double play. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. I want to know, Danny, what your plans are for tonight. You got the Caps and the NFL draft, both of those things. I'm planning on going to the Caps game, having the draft up on my phone,
Oh, man.
Which is a little complicated.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the best situation, but how many Alex Ovechkin home playoff games do I have left?
Smell what you're cooking there, yeah.
So what do you want me to do with my hands? What's Danny Ruggie going
to
do?
We'll have to do a two-screen situation here, which is not an ideal setup for us, but one will probably be on a computational device. I imagine I might major in draft first on the early side, when Washington's on the clock around the early 30s, then around 40.
Well, not only that,
then major in the Capitals.
Starts at 7, and the Caps game is about the same time.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking Caps puck drop will happen before the Commanders make the 36th pick, presumably.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, like, first part of the draft, they need to know what's happening. Like, what receivers are off the board? Did another tackle go, or is it a corner? Then the Caps will switch to the first seed, and the draft will be on the computational device, probably. That's how I'll set it up. But it's not ideal when things I care about at the same time. I don't like that. Space it out for me.
We'll get into this in a little more detail next hour, but I am super conflicted on what Washington should do tonight now. Here's what I mean by that. You guys know my thoughts on what their needs are, right? Corner, wide receiver, tight end, edge, you know, among them. There's very little they could do that would annoy me. But the way the draft actually fell, there's a ton of value at cornerback right now. I still think there are a couple of wide receivers that are so valuable and so good that are available right now that if they're there, you got to really think about taking them. Texas's A.D. Mitchell, to me, is going to be really hard to pass on. And I would say the same about Georgia's Ladd McConkey. Either of those two picks, I would be doing cartwheels. You'd have three receivers, 11 personnel, Jaden Daniels with a spread field running around, like a potential electric offense. You've brought in Ertz. You'll add a tight end in the mid rounds. I could dream on that a little bit. They obviously need a tackle, though. So one of the two picks, 36 or 40, almost has to be tackle. The question then becomes, do you grab a receiver that's available that shouldn't be there and grab value? Do you play the board thinking the receiver class is so deep I can get one in a round, so let's pounce on corner right now? Because look at this. Cooper DeJean from Iowa fell. Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama was supposed to go around now, but he is still on the board. Ennis Rakestraw Jr., who's been mocked to Washington bunch, Missouri corner, is available. I think that the best value right now, other than the two receivers I've already referenced, maybe more if you really like Keon Coleman, Florida State, or some of the other guys. I'm not quite as high on him, but the value's at corner right now, yeah?
Right there in receiver, those two spots that you just referenced. I mean, that's what's so puzzling about this. And again, the reason you and I both hammered left tackle, it's obvious, right? There's a glaring hole there. And then the question then is begged, A, do they have a plan for that? Talking about the Washington brass, or B, do they not view it the same way we do? What's been interesting is this offseason, they viewed the roster the same way that I have. Not that I'm qualified to do anything other than relay this information to you right now, but I go, they're not close. I hope they don't think they're close. And they came in and showed you, we know we ain't close. Shoot a flare gun up. Come help us. Anybody who wants a 1 year or 2 year, swing on by, and we'll upgrade the talent level here. So they showed you they had a similar view of the roster, as anybody reasonable that would look at it. So you're applying that same reason to the left tackle spot. I wonder if they don't view it the same way as we do. That's my first question. The other is, maybe they already have a plan to sort of address it. Maybe it's more of a developmental guy, and you have a short-term answer, they think, in Lucas or someone that's going to get cut, kind of the Charles Leno plan, et cetera. But right there, the value, just to your point, though, real quick, sorry, is in this spot in the draft, there are two first-round cornerbacks that everybody had going in the first round that did not, two first-round wide receivers that everyone had going in the first round that did not. That tells you about the value. It's right there.
There's no way that they disagree with people at left tackle, meaning, let me say this cleaner. There's no way that they think their left tackle situation's good. That's just impossible. So either they've got a plan to get a veteran that they know is getting cut because they've talked to the agent or something, or you just assume, maybe you don't know for sure, but every year one or two veterans gets released and you got all the money you need, you'll overpay, you'll win the bidding war, whatever, you'll bring that guy in. Or they thought all along that they could get a starter right now. Roger Rosengarten, the right tackle at Washington, who only starts on the right side, because Michael Penix was left-handed, and that was his blind side. And maybe they really like him, and they go, that's a day one left tackle. We know it. Nobody else does. We're smarter than them. We're going to get our guy at 36. We don't have to come up. They did try to trade up. That tells you that there's an acknowledgement that they understand they need a left tackle. Ben Standig had a report, I think some others did as well, that they tried to get into the teens. Now, how hard did you try? I don't know. Calling and doing are two different things.
Yeah, I tried to lose weight.
They called a team in the teens to try to move up. So there was clear interest. They understand. They weren't moving up to do something other than tackle. But they didn't want to do it bad enough, I guess. We'll get you your Beltway Blitz here at the top of the hour. Jam the teams in town that you care about into one segment. And then I want to turn our attention this hour into what lies ahead at 36 and 40. Because as we've pointed out a few times, the Daniels pick, that's going to get the headlines. It's the most important thing. But the rest of this draft could really shape the beginning of his career and the next couple seasons for this team as well. You're listening to The Fan.